I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. And today we want to have a conversation about identity.
First of all, houses and goals, obviously we're going to get into that. That's how we started the episode. But last week we spent like 75% of the episode on houses and goals. So we're going to try and zoom through it today so we can actually talk to you.
Not 75%, but we did. And Catherine like just popped off with so many. Well, because it was
we had 2 weeks in between because we had a guest episode in between. So I always have like double the updates.
Yeah.
Double the things.
But I feel like this topic of identity is one that we've like always had in mind.
I did it on a mini episode once.
Oh yeah, you did.
But it's that episode's on, like, no longer. The music so like episodes. I like, yeah. So it's fun that now this is gonna be like a full number one big episode where we can actually expand more and talk about things more, and that it'll be here to stay.
Yeah, I feel like identity is something that I think about so much, and so it's always something that like we talk about kind of with each other sometimes. Like it comes up in conversation and it's like a big thing kind of that like recurring on my mind, or like
I think it's an identity an easy crisis thing to just overthink almost about.
Yeah, and so I just want to like,
or if you are overthinking, wherever that overthinking starts, the more you expand, it just gets to a point of like existential crisis, identity, anxiety. Like I feel like those are all kind of intertwined, and
yeah. So I just want to like talk about that concept of identity, like kind of what I think about it, and maybe it'll have some light bulb moments with you of like, oh my god, wait, that kind of happens to me too, I think that way too, or I never thought of that. You know, this is less of like a we have answers type of episode and more of just like a we want to talk about this topic, and maybe we'll have some ideas that you've never thought of, or maybe we have some ideas that you're like, wow, I've never heard somebody else put that into words as well. So I think it'll just be super interesting. What is your high?
Oh, highs and goals. I have a few. So I started writing down my highs because normally we get into the episode and I'm like actively coming up with them or trying to remember them as I'm speaking. So I wrote down my highs, and I wrote these down on Thursday, and I've since, like 2 seconds ago, I started adding more to them. But we're gonna breeze through them a little bit faster than we did last time. But my first high was I had like a very, I know we always talk about this, and I always am like, you know when you have just like a weird amount of energy and it's just like the stars align, I guess, and then if you work out or do something, it's like insane and like you're maxing out on everything and like everything feels so easy and like good and it's like the cogs are all turning. And then you're like, oh my god, this is my new baseline. Like, I just ran a marathon. Like, tomorrow, let's make it 2. Like, that was so easy. Let's make it 2. Anyway, I had one of those days. And I did a full, like, upper body lift in the morning because I'm trying to figure out how to balance doing more cardio but not feeling like I'm losing all my strength. Because I love the, like, runner's high type of vibe with cardio and how it makes me feel. But also, I hate how it makes me feel like a spaghetti noodle. And I've said that like 6 times, but it's less of like, oh, doing more cardio makes me feel like a spaghetti. You know, it's more of like time-wise, I've swapped like lifting days with more cardio days. So now the ratio's off and I'm like, if I go longer between, you know, strength training or doing anything like that, I just feel like a little sack of jello. I'm like, I want to be able to feel my muscles. That's all mental, though. So, anyway, this one morning, last Thursday, woke up, did my normal lift, and I was like, I want to go run outside, because it was the first day in, like, 3 days that it wasn't disgusting and gross out, and I have white shoes. Normally, a little rain wouldn't stop me, but I have brand new, nice, bright white shoes that I run in. And I was like, you know, I could wear my old pair running, but I feel like that would just, like, ruin my legs and my shins, and it would just not be a good idea. So, like, I'm gonna hold off, wait till it stops raining. Stars aligned this morning, great lift, went for a run. And, like, the run, I ran what I set out to run. And side note, I was like, wow, this is fun. Because at the beginning of the school year, when I started, like, running more, it was, I did the math. My new, I guess, like, what I ran the other day was, let me do the math for a moment, 2.333 times what I, my original, like, baseline of running. So that's kind of fun to realize, like, oh, wow.
You did more than double what was hard for you before.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun. And so I did that. And then I'm like, I could, so at the end of my run, I was like, I could keep going. Because I was just so mentally, like, on the up and up. And I was like, this feels so good. Like, everything feels so easy. And I was like, and I had to stop myself. Because had I continued and gone way longer, which I, like, in that moment I could have, but then I would have been out of commission for, like, 6 weeks to come. So I stopped myself, and I know we talked about that in the past, being like, oh my god, when you have a crazy day like that, and then you're like, oh, this is my new baseline, like, I'm never not running twice what I normally do now. Like, my new baseline is, like, twice, and then you're like, that's not how it works. Like, maybe you'll get there, but that's not today. Like, move on. So I stopped myself, and now I'm not out of commission anymore. So that's super fun. And then second thing is, I know we talked about merch in the last episode, but I've been, like, wearing it as my, I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now. And I, like, before I was too nervous to wear it. I was like, I don't want to jinx anything. Like, I don't want to wear it until it's, like, all official. But now I'm like, the other day I needed a sweatshirt. It's freezing cold.
And where did you wear it?
To class.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway. Like, that's super fun.
It's not even the final version. It's kind of like our,
it's like, it's draft. Like, in, yeah, it's a draft version, but I'm like super comfortable.
But the final version we do have finalized, and we'll be ready for you guys really, really soon. So if you want to be the first ones to hear about merch, if you want to be looped in on, like, the pre-order and everything like that, then we'll have a link right in the show notes of this episode, and you can click that and you can get your name on the list so that you get all the updates, you get the early access and all of those kinds of things. So just throw your name in there and you'll be in the loop.
Oh, and my last hair was, my last tie was, I just added this last night, I cut my hair.
So. She did.
But she, it doesn't, a hair appointment, honestly, and I was like, are you cutting it? And she was like, no. Feel shorter, like, doesn't feel shorter, but there's probably, like, a foot. Nope, lie. That was a lie. I don't know length.
Well, relative to what your hair's always been, this is the shortest that your hair has been ever.
Ever in my life. Maybe when I was, like, in kindergarten, it was this short. But it's, like, collarbone length right now. At one point, it was for sure, like, to my butt. But recently, it's been to, like, I don't know. Anyway, super fun. What are your highs? Your low is heinous. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's really awful.
So funny to me.
My high, I had a little bit of a high moment yesterday because I just felt like, I just feel like I've kind of been, like, working in silence, pushing through some things recently. And
working in silence.
Well, you know when you're just, like, you're just, like, kind of grinding, like, working towards things and stuff, and also, or just, like, feeling very, like, independent in your pursuits, kind of, you know? It's, like, you're just kind of, like, working before, like, the work before things kind of really come to be. And so I just feel like I, like, had a couple things yesterday where I was like, wow, these things are, like, really are moving forward for me. Like, I just signed with a talent agency and I'm going to get started soon, which is, like, a huge, huge deal for me. Just, like, in my personal life, being able to find more balance and have some more time in my life to be able to have somebody kind of on my side with social media, not have that be totally on my own. That's something that I've been searching for so long and working for it. And so to have that start to come together right now just feels huge for me. I'm also, like, working towards an internship next semester that I had, like, some positive feedback on. I don't know. It was just, like, yesterday I just had, like, a few moments of, like, wow, things that I've been working for seem to be coming together right now. And so that felt kind of nice, especially when you're working really hard and you feel kind of alone in it, or like, the hard work before things kind of come to be can be really hard. So it's nice when you have those moments of, like, okay, things are starting to happen. So I just, like, I was going for a walk yesterday and listening to music and kind of just, like, reflecting, and it was nice.
I need to go for it. I haven't left the apartment today.
I know, I haven't either. So this happens on weekends, honestly. I either have a weekend day where I just get up and out and I'm out, or I just don't. And today is just a not, but that's okay. You need both. But it's super sunny. I really want to go outside later.
Okay, quickly, my low is, oh my god, maintenance. Sorry, I'm like reading this and I'm like, I forgot what my low is. Maintenance. Our maintenance man. If you're reading this, I mean, if you're listening to this, like, I appreciate you so much and there's nothing wrong with you. But my low of the week is maintenance, because there's a few things, like, we need fixed, like, such as my window doesn't stay open, so I have it's propped up, because otherwise it just shuts on itself. And so, maintenance, they, like, ordered new windows, and they're gonna come put them in, but it's been a week since that happened.
Oh, it's been a month.
Well, it's been a month since they ordered them. It's been a week since he was like, oh, the windows are here. Okay, can we put them in? Can we put them in? And they're, like, here every day. There's three units in our apartment building. And then, I know there's another thing, they're like, oh, we'll be there at 11 in the morning. So I'm sitting here like at 11 in the morning at the apartment, like twiddling my thumbs. It's 2 p.m. and there was an email and they're like, sorry, I couldn't make it. I'm like, well, maybe you could have told me before I spent my entire day just like
waiting around,
waiting and waiting and waiting. And so that was my low.
Okay, here's my low. So a couple weeks ago, I decided to get a 2-week solid core membership because I was just feeling like I wanted something a little bit different. In my routine, I was getting a little bit sick of going to my school gym every day because I'm kind of in a moment where, like, if I can't get there in the morning where it's not crowded, it's really, really hard to go in the afternoon where I know it's going to be packed and I know it's just, like, a more difficult environment to, like, get in the zone in. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to get a 2-week membership and just, like, do a little Pilates and throw that in my routine so that I can have something a little bit different for the next 2 weeks. Hopefully kind of avoid a burnout phase of working out before it happens by doing something different. Anyways, my membership was a 2-week unlimited. And so you think that you can just kind of, like, book and cancel classes and things as you please. Well, no, that's not the case, because the other day I checked and I'm like, why do I have a $40 charge from Solid Core? Like, I paid my membership fee, like, why do I have a $40 charge? And then I realized that they have a cancellation fee charge that I didn't know about. And so if you cancel within a certain period of time, they just, like, charge you double for the class. I didn't know that. It was not, like, made very clear to me when I signed up for this 2-week unlimited plan. And so now here I am thinking that I'm, like, getting a good deal with it, and I'm just getting late fees left and right, or cancellation fees, because there were two classes that I missed or canceled. Anyways, I was really upset about that, but I was like, you know what, whatever. It was probably in their terms and conditions, and they were sneaky, and
I missed sneaky. It.
It's not sneaky, but I also think I'm like, really? Like, you can't cancel without being charged double?
Because that's why I don't get how people, like, consistently, like, obviously, if you do, like, if you're into working classes, like, love it. I have the occasional phase, but there's so many people at our school. This is what I'm like so intrigued by, is there's so many people, like, people I know at our school, they do this like
spin studio,
and it costs like, I don't know how much it costs every single,
but it's $15 for $15 a thing, but the cancellation fee is huge.
And then if you were to cancel or whatever, like, they charge you again. But with our tuition, like, fat ass tuition, there's, like, a gym. Granted, it's irritating to go to that gym. Like, I get it. It's chaotic in there. But $15 a class, every single class, like, as a college student, racks up. Even if you have that money, I just, like, cannot justify. Personally, I'm, like, it amazes me. And then how people are so relaxed with the cancel. Like, people are so relaxed with the cancellation. They're like, oh, I'll cancel. I'm like, really? Because you just wasted $30 and you got nothing out of it.
Anyways, that was upsetting to me, but I was like, you know what? It was probably there and I just missed it. Whatever. Like, I was really upset. No, now I'm getting there. So this already happened. So then I'm like, okay, I have 1 week left of this thing. I have to make it worth it. I got to be going. So I had a class scheduled for Wednesday. Meanwhile, the studio's not that convenient for me. It's about a 30-minute walk away. So I have this class booked on Wednesday. I set out and start walking and realized that I set out and start walking about 10 minutes later than I should have. And I'm going to be late to this class if I keep on walking. And so I said, you know what? This really sucks, but I'm going to have to call an Uber because I would rather pay the $10 Uber fee, because that's what it was, than the $20 late fee or cancellation fee. And it's not a late fee, it's a cancellation fee.
It's honestly just finance.
It's just finance. And so I call the Uber, I pay $10 and I get in an Uber and my Uber takes me there. My Uber drops me off at the door 2 minutes after the start of class, okay? 2 minutes into an hour-long class. I step into the studio. There's no Pilates reformers open. Every single one of them is full. It's been 2 minutes in this class. And I had a booked spot. And so I was like, is there anywhere for me to go? And she was like, oh, it looks like I marked you absent. It looks like we filled your spot. So somebody had been on the wait list and was just like waiting, predicting that somebody would cancel or be late. I was not in class for the first 2 minutes. And so I was marked absent and my spot was already filled. So they marked me absent. So therefore, that counts as a cancellation. Because I was 2 minutes late. It counts as a cancellation. I'm going to be charged $20. And I was there. And like, look, I get it. There's a back and forth. It's like, okay, I was 2 minutes late. Maybe I should have been there on time. Yeah, I should have been there on time. But I don't know if it's fair to mark me absent and cancel my presence in the first 2 minutes of class. I've had people walk in 10 minutes late and they're just lucky enough that no one stole their spot until them. Anyways, so I asked them, I was like, okay, I will leave, but is there any way that you can waive this cancellation fee? Because, like, truly, I was here. If somebody hadn't been here waiting, I would be right there and I would be doing 98% of this workout. And I am here. And she was like, there's nothing I can do. I already marked you absent. Like, you can send an email to the front desk. I send an email to the front desk within that first 10 minutes. I still haven't heard back. So she's now, like,
tearing up as we
well,
speak.
I'm just like upset. I'm like, because I was there. I was 2 minutes late. Like, that just doesn't really seem right to me. So now here I am, another $20 cancellation fee when I really didn't cancel, plus this Uber charge, plus the other two cancellation fees that I didn't know about,
plus the membership that I was paying for 2 weeks. Free trial just to like save some money on the experience, and you end up like spending three times over in late fees.
Not three times over,
well,
but it's just about 20 plus
like the $10 Uber.
Yeah, no, it's just about going to double what I'm paying for the 2 weeks. Because it was $89 for the 2 weeks, and it's like just about going to double it. So I'm like quite upset. That's my low for the week. And I was already having a really bad day on Wednesday, and then that happened on top of it, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Now, I didn't even get my workout anyways. Now it's sprinkling rain on my walk home, and I'm down $30 extra. Like, it was just really a low. I get home, and I'm just, like, crying. And I still haven't heard back from them, but I'm going to fight that, because I think that's right. Obviously,
it's like, irritating and not what you want to be if you just, like, dumped $70 down the drain.
I was like, I'm treating myself to this 2 week membership, and it's just almost caused me more stress.
But taking it with a grain of salt, I think it's hilarious that I just imagine her standing on the side of the road and she's like, I'm gonna be late, and she takes an Uber 2 blocks.
And then they still cancel me. Then they still fill my spot.
Of course
that would happen to me. It's so me. I was literally already having a bad day, and I was like, this is going
to
improve my day.
That would never happen to me. If it didn't happen to you, I would be surprised. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, not the first time, and surely it's not the last time something like that's going to happen.
But then, okay, here's the little lesson.
It's been 20 minutes of our lives.
Wednesday, really bad, and then yesterday was Friday when I said I had, like, a nice walking moment feeling kind of appreciative. So, you know, take every day as it comes, because things can be very different within 24 or 48 hours. And then it can all go back down again. I mean, life comes in waves. That's kind of my thing.
I don't think it comes in. Alternate idea. Sorry, I was yawning through that. Alternate idea. You're just
riding the wave.
No, you're just there. And oh, no!
What'd you do?
Oh, no! I dropped my lollipop.
Ew.
Oh, no. I'm not eating it again, Caroline. I'm putting it down.
She dropped her lollipop.
Where did I put
on
it?
The rug.
Oh. Good thing I got two.
Good thing you brought two in here.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a hair.
It's disgusting.
Okay.
It fell on the rug. Okay. 1 second. Let me open my new lollipop. I got these lollipops at Whole Foods. And
I saw Whole Foods
the other day, and I was like, I just need it.
I just need it.
They're fruit juice flavored.
Mm.
And anyway, what am I saying? Who knows? Move on. Oh, life, you're just neutral, and it just, like, happens, and it's just it.
So your goal for the week? Well, actually, we're getting on a plane in just a few days. It's going to be Monday when this episode comes out. On Tuesday, we're getting on a plane and we are going to London and to Florence, Italy.
We are so different in the sense that, like, I never would have been like, oh, I'm working on an internship. I'm getting an internship. Or like, oh, I'm doing this. Like, I never would have preemptively just been like, said something until, like, I have to wait until something is so real.
But how is, like, that not real?
Are we on the plane yet? Are we there yet?
No, but we've had these flights booked for about a month, so yeah, I would say that we're going.
What if the airport closes down?
Okay. Well, unless the airport closes down or, like, the world ends.
What if the world ends?
We're going to London and Italy next week, and I'm just so excited about that. We've both never been to Europe before. If you guys have been listening for a while, you kind of know our history. We love to travel. We grew up a little bit in Asia. We spent last spring semester in Singapore. So we've done a lot of traveling specifically in Asia, but neither of us have ever been to Europe. I'm 20 years old, and I want to go to Europe, and so there are a couple girls.
Daddy!
Hey, I am paying my own way to Europe. I am paying my own way to Europe. But we have a couple friends from school who are studying abroad in Florence, Italy. And so us and our roommate Anna decided that we really wanted to take some time and go visit them. And so Catherine and I also have a best friend from Hong Kong growing up who goes to school in London. And I've always told her that I wanted to visit her. I've always said that, like, if I'm going to go to Europe, I'm going to go to London. I'm going to see you. And so we booked our trip through London for a couple days and then on to Florence, Italy, and then back. And we're going to miss a couple days of school for it, but for the most part, it's worked around, like, a long weekend for us. And
I was so nervous. I didn't even check my school schedule before I, like, booked it. And someone was like, oh, we have a midterm next week, or, like, we have an exam next week from one of my classes. And it's, like, the token exam of the whole thing. I was like, what day is that exactly?
But you'll be here, right? Yeah.
I think so.
You said it was Tuesday, yeah?
Yeah. It's not. It isn't, because I checked with Caroline.
So you're going to be
I was, like, texting everyone in the, like, while I was in class. I was like, what day is that? And I'm like, when are we going? When are we leaving? When will we be back?
Yeah. So my goal, truly, is to just be super present there, have a really good time. Like, we're going on, like, a girls' trip to Italy. That's, like, honestly kind of my dream. So, like, that's something that I've always wanted to do. And so I just want to make sure that, like,
you just be throwing around the term always want to. Do you guys remember a few weeks ago when there was, like, a cat? Did we tell you about this?
I've always wanted to get a cat.
Like, I always want to get a cat.
I have some things in the background where I'm like, someday I'll do
never
that.
Have you ever been like, oh, I want a cat?
No, but I ever. Just think that, like, having my own little kitten
ever.
Would be cute.
Ever in your life have you wanted a cat?
Okay, well, I've always thought that having, like, a little kitten is something
and
I
all
could
of a
do.
Sudden she pulls
and I've
out,
always thought that
I've
going,
always wanted a cat.
I've also always thought that going on, like, a girls trip, it's somewhere in Europe and
yeah,
in Italy
so,
is, like,
okay.
a dream. That's, wow. like, everyone wants to do that.
Every single person
every
in
single
the world.
Every single person wants to do that. And so,
like, oh, I would
my
love a girl's
point
trip in Italy.
Is that my goal is that in these next few days before we go on the trip to really, like, check off all the tasks and the schoolwork and things I need to get done so that I can feel very free and very present and just really enjoy myself on this trip. Because there's just no, like, it would just be a real disservice to myself not to be present and have
I'm
the
like
best time because that just doesn't happen often. What?
Wait, I should just charge you late fees if you're not being present. 100%.
Wait,
the
can
price
we do that?
No.
Wait, can we, like, have, like,
that
a...
lose so much
can
money.
We have, like, a negativity jar on this
oh,
trip?
Oh, I need to check the...
Wait, this is a really good idea. Like, we have to Venmo request each other when we're, like, not being present or being negative on the trip.
Not doing that.
Because you would lose.
But here's the thing, is the other day, my group, project group, and I, we did bet money on, like, how many TSA, like, we put in. I think, I don't know how much we put in. Not enough. Something was, they were like, let me say this in English. It was like a market, but it's not, like, stocks or anything. It's like you can trade on world events, and that's what we're doing our, like, project on. And one of the things we're reading through, the current things you can bet on, and one of them was how many TSA pre-checks or how many TSA check-ins are going to, like, go through this week. And there was it was, like, over or under 2.25 million. And so I was like, I'll put $100 on over.
Because we're going to be there.
No. It's for sure under. I didn't bet $100. Like, I don't know. It was, like, a group effort of, like, what we were betting, and it was minimal. But we most definitely, we kind of bet before doing any research because it was, like, not, it was a fun little, like, in-class bonding activity. We definitely lost. I think we lost, like, maybe, like, $5. So it was, like, it was just, like, a kind of, it was a fun fun little thing. But not a new check. I've been checking on every day. I think it ended yesterday, or maybe it ends tomorrow.
Exciting. Well, if anybody listening is in London, Florence, or knows things we have an audience. London is one of my top cities. Sticker. I know some of you are there.
I'm going to bring stickers, and then I'm going to, like, leave it somewhere and be like, left it, and then see like if anyone really comes cool to get idea. It.
That's actually a really cool idea. Do that. But if anyone, please feel free to reach out to us and give us a suggestion, or maybe there's a possibility to be able to meet up with people. That would be really interesting. So if you are in London or Florence, let me know.
I did just switch to a grape lollipop from an orange lollipop. The orange lollipop, went on the floor, so. Grape is not doing it for me, even though I'm such a, I don't know, I'm normally a great person. All right, so, oh, goals. Jesus, oh my god.
Well, that was my goal, was like.
What was your goal?
To enjoy the trip and be present. What's yours?
To run again.
Oh, cool. Run in Italy. I'm gonna bring running shoes, because it's love to
It's like a week away. It's not, that's not within this week.
We're going on Tuesday, that's within 3 days, so run again within 3 days, sure.
Mine was kind of based off of my fat run before, and I was like, it would be a shame if I, like, did this and was like, that's it, I've run, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Baselines. Okay, identity. We're talking about how you define yourself, and honestly, like, we were just talking about this in the beginning, but overthinking, I feel like it is the easiest thing to overthink ever, or if you're just overthinking in general, you overthink, and it expands into, like, what the fuck, who the fuck, huh?
Mm. Identity is so interesting to me and something that's on my mind a lot, or maybe not on my mind a lot, but I feel like it's really, like, present in the world is, like, who you identify as, who you are, and almost this pressure to know exactly what that is and to be able to define that. I looked it up, the definition of identity.
Oh my god, no.
I knew you weren't going to like this, but I'm like, I want to see.
No.
Catherine's like, I hate being like the definition of, but the definition of identity.
And I will pull like academic journals to back some shit I say.
But she's not going to look up like the Google definition.
The Oxford Dictionary says identity.
But what is it? Because this, I wouldn't say it if I didn't think the description was, like, good.
That's, like, in middle school, you're, like, this is such a fire essay, and you're, like,
the definition
of, like, a tree.
Is a tree.
And then you go into it. Fire essay.
Identity.
For an eighth grader.
Identity. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. How in the world,
though. Thanks for clarifying.
Can you describe that? Like, what is my identity? My identity is who or what I am. But is that something that, like, I have to be able to define completely? Is that something that's set in stone? Is that something that, like, is, can ever be all-encompassing and can ever be perfectly descriptive? Do I even know what my identity is? Can I even define that? What do people think my identity is? How does that differ from what I think it is? How does that differ from what it actually is? Like, the concept of identity honestly stresses me out, because I'm like, I feel like it's trying to put parameters on who or what you are. Right. I think in some sense it's like, okay, this can help me define who I am, but at the same time it's like, what is who you are? Is who you are what you do? Is who you are what you like? Is who you are your characteristics? Is it what you look like? Is it, like, what is it?
And even if those parameters are, like, completely accurate, what if you have a contradiction?
Exactly.
What if you, I was made fun of the other day, I have this, like, a note for later in the episode, but the other day I said something about, like, people being nuanced, and I got made fun of so hard.
No, it wasn't that. I think it just, like, it came out of nowhere. Like, it was off topic.
No. We're talking about something, and I was like, oh, whatever. But, like, you're allowed to be, like, six opposing people in one, and, like, that's not. That's, like, you're allowed to be more than just those parameters. Or, like, set parameters. Or sometimes I think, honestly, social media plays a whole thing into it. Because I'm like, if you look at my social media, like, my Instagram, you can scroll through. Like, there's a theme, there's a color scheme, there's, like, you snap judgment. Like, you can learn everything about me in, like, 2 seconds scrolling through my page.
But you can't really.
And I never post pictures. This is just a tangible example. But, like, I don't have a picture of, like, nighttime. It's all daytime at the beach. Like, daytime. Mm-hmm. Outside, you know what I mean? But, like, I go inside too.
Right.
I go outside, and, like, I exist in the night. You don't see that, but I don't post a picture of that because I'm like, oh, it doesn't fit in this theme.
That I identify same, that with I, on social
that
media.
That is my identity. Same thing happens with other people. I'm like, this happens so often. Like, if you're the and I'm assuming a lot of you can relate to this, if you're, like, the token healthy person in your family or, like, in your friend group or in general, and you, God forbid, you, like, you eat, like, a piece of bread, which, long live bread, like, I don't care, like, healthy people need bread. Horrible example. But some, or if you go to eat a burger or something, which isn't bad for you. And someone's like, oh, see, we're, like, ditching the health today. And you're like, shut up. Mm. Because that doesn't... Just because I identify as a healthy person, like, that is part of my identity.
It doesn't mean that it has to fit your black and white description of what you think that is.
And that doesn't mean, oh, for tonight I'm straying from my identity. No. It's all a part of it. It's not, like, black and white, yes or no. It's just, like, vibes. Like, yeah. Your identity... And I always think about this because it's, like... I can like make a list of Caroline's identity or my other friend's identities, and I can like, oh, their personality, their interests, like make a list of it if I think, but no one thinks that way. Mm. You're just, how do I know that I'm like, if you were to walk into our apartment right now, I think about this often. I'm like, if you were to walk into our apartment now, you would walk past Caroline's room and without knowing it's her room, you'd be like, definitely Caroline's room. That's like, get Caroline in there. You'd walk past Anna's room, you'd be like, of course that's Anna's room. Like, that gives Anna. You'd walk past Anna's room, be like, of course that's Aunt Catherine's room. Like, yeah. It gives. You know that because it's just, like, the vibe of your room, and it's the vibe of you, but no one is, like...
Dissecting
it. Dissecting it. Like, I have a plant in my room, so does Caroline, so does Anna. Like, I have a pillow in my room, so does Caroline, so does Anna. But it's like, You know what I mean? It's just so intangible, but I feel like when we overthink it, and when we... you know, conceptualize it. To conceptualize something, you have to make it, like, objectified, and you have to make it tangible. But that's not, and to understand it, yes, that works, but that's not the whole picture, and that's not the only, like, depiction of who you are. So I think when you get to overthinking about your identity, that's when it's hard to be like, because I do this too, I'm like,
who am I?
Whoa.
But I constantly feel like I have to define myself in a few words or within certain parameters like we were talking about. And I think that it happens to all of us all the time. First day of school, introductions in a class. You have to give like one fun fact about you. You have to say one thing about you. And it's like, I'm sorry, does anybody else get so stressed out about that? Because I'm like, what is the
you
one thing
you also never give the actual cool
stuff. I'm going to identify with right now.
I have a dog.
I have a dog. Like, you give like basic answers. Because
get in
like,
line. Like,
what do you do? But like... on writing a resume, on interviews, like on a resume, you're being defined and identified by your past work history, by your skills that you're able to list, by your GPA and your college and those things. That is your identity on a resume. That's all that somebody looking at your resume for a job sees of you.
Because I just signed on to a new job, like I signed a contract for a new job. I had 3 interviews, 3 different people, max like an hour each.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, like, the vibes were there, and I'm, like, I know who that person is, like, I can understand their personality, like, I get it, but I don't know anything about, like, where'd you grow up, like, could you have siblings, like, where are you, in Boston, like, where are you, but now it's, like, we're gonna work together, for the foreseeable future, and, like, we've talked for maybe an hour, like, what do you know about me, and how were you able to make, you see my resume, like, we had a conversation, that's it.
Yeah.
How do you know that I'm gonna get into the... How do you know that I can, like, do this job?
Because it takes into account your skills, but also, like, your personality, your time management, the time you have available, the things that you're interested in. And so there's the resume, where you're literally defined by just, like, you know, that work history and the GPA and the numbers, and that's your identity.
The most rancid piece of paper. It's, like, black text on a white page.
Yeah.
God forbid you go over one page.
No.
Like, you have to fit your whole life onto one page. Yeah. I'm like, all right, this is it. It looks like every other person's resume.
And then it's like, so what are your skills? What are your interests? And I'm like,
Yeah, let me just... if you look at the very last line, there are about 3 items separated by commas. Those are my skills and interests.
Right.
Excel.
and then you go into an interview for something, and it's like, so tell me about yourself.
Where are we starting?
Because how... am I supposed to define myself in 5 minutes?
Like, I know.
So you start
Everyone
writing
has,
this
like, a
narrative.
Little elevator pitch. I'm like, is that me?
So then I start having this elevator pitch, right? My elevator pitch. I am from New Hampshire. I
honestly grew just up, listen to the first episode. I that grew is up my a bit image.
In Hong Kong, so New Hampshire, Hong Kong.
Read the blurb of this.
Those were podcast. Really polar like, opposite. Yeah, pitch. Like those were really. This is my elevator pitch. Those were really polar opposite places. The transition was difficult for me, but it taught me like I love to travel. I learned a lot about culture and diversity, and that was like huge for me. I came back to New Hampshire. I had a hard transition. It pushed me into fitness because I was looking for something to, like be more personal to me and like strengthen my own identity. And so then that became fitness. And then I started working on social media for fitness and building this platform. And now I have a podcast and social media and personal training business. And here are my purposes with it and blah, blah, blah. And that's my pitch. And I'm like, okay, but you don't know what I'm like with my family. You don't know what I'm like with my friends. And also the more that you say all of these things and have these pitches, I almost start to get imposter syndrome with it because I'm like, is this all of who I am? Is this even who I am?
On a similar note, I have the exact same thing, like same narrative. And I think part of it is the more we say it, like we've said it together, we've said it individually, but the more like we say it and the more we say it together, because oftentimes if we're like pitching ourselves or talking to someone, meeting someone together at the same time, it's like, it's a group effort. We're like, bouncing, but like she we takes one point, like I take the next point. I know what's coming. Number of times, or if we like have presentations, we have to do a presentation or something, or a meeting or a pitch for the podcast. We're like, it just happens. Like here's we know our part, we know our lines, and I'm like, I feel like they just morph into one. Like so, even if I'm on my own, like I say the same thing, and I say it from an individual standpoint, but it's the same narrative and same story. And I'm like, you just heard that. That's the exact same thing that Caroline might say, but we are two entirely different people, and everyone knows we're two entirely different people because, like, our vibes are different. Yeah. And so, under that, like, those, like, five main points are completely different points that define each of us. So but, like, you wouldn't know that.
Do I identify with girl who grew up in Hong Kong? Do I identify with girl from New Hampshire?
I don't.
Do I identify with health and wellness influencer? Nope. Do I identify with podcast host? Do I identify with personal trainer? Am I supposed to identify with any of them?
Part of it is like, I'm like, did I grow up in Hong Kong? I did, but like, I left.
Okay, and
other, like, when I moved back to the US, like other people stayed, so like I can no longer say that. I can no longer claim that because other people have it more. Did I grow up in the US? I did. Other people grew up longer than me here, so like can I claim that? Other people are
Bigger influencers.
Can I claim that? No. Like,
do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The ambition card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this ambition card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors. Other people have bigger podcasts. Like,
and so it gets to this really stressful thing in my head of like, how do I identify? How can I get the whole picture of myself across all at once? But do I even know what that is? Can I identify with all of these things? Or can I identify with none of them? Or should I be able to? Or should I not be able to? It's stressful. And then I think about, like, in terms of meeting someone new. Like, meeting new people sometimes stresses me out. Because in some situations when I'm comfortable, it's great. I love meeting new people. But in some cases, I'm kind of just in my head, like, how do I identify myself right now? I'm meeting this person for the first time. They might have heard some things about me before. They might not. So what's their impression of me? What is my identity to them? Is it reflective of what I think my identity is? What do I even think my identity is? What do I tell them about? Do I tell them about social media and my podcast? Do I tell them about my major in school? So, like, am I right now going to identify as, like, the international business marketing major?
The other day and was like, oh, how's your fitness thing?
So you don't know anything about that, but also thing? I haven't really talked to you about it.
My fitness thing?
Yeah. Okay. So,
because then I'm like, now I'm not going to talk about it, because from that I'm like, were you just making fun of me?
Yeah, also, or like, do you understand? Do you not understand? Do you follow along? Do you not? And I'm like, I don't,
but also, I just don't know. I think we're different. I know we've definitely talked about this in meeting people. Caroline, I think, takes more of an approach of like, will they like me? And I take more of an approach of like, I'm not gonna like them. And I feel like you take more approach of like, what are people gonna think about me? What are, you know what I mean?
I mean, maybe, but in a sense where I think that I'm always nervous going into something that,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna come across your identity that sense. Yeah, like, how do people perceive my identity? And I'm more of like, I won't show, like, I will like neutralize my identity, so that, because I'm like, what does this person, they don't need to be knowing me.
So another thing that I thought about recently is, we have all these things that are pieces of us, but somebody's like depiction of your identity can be so different from somebody else's. Like, somebody that's in a class with me and really knows nothing about me,
have that written down.
I think we both thought of this, but I'm just like, okay, I'm like a marketing major. They're like, that's how they see me. I'm like a blonde girl marketing major. Somebody else that knows me, that just follows me on social media, I'm the fitness influencer. Somebody in my family sees me completely differently. Like, maybe my parents see me more all-encompassing, but like, I don't know, aunts, uncles, cousins, they probably don't really know anything about my school life or my career life. They see me as a totally different thing. So what is my identity, really, if all of these people have a different image of it and have a different...
Let me take it from here.
Can I just finish?
Oh, my God.
I have another thing, because then, like, we have a friend a couple years younger than us from home that now goes to Northeastern with us, and so we see him every once in a while. And the other day, he was like, I met people who are fans of yours. Like, people really love you. That's so cool. But then it got me thinking, like, I don't see social media and what I do as, like, something that brings me, like, clout or anything by those means. Because I see it as something that, like, I'm passionate about and work really hard on. And it's, like, my passion and it's my career.
I also am convinced, like, if I post something or share something, I'm, like, don't even think about it going to people who actually know me.
Right.
In the real life.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, this is going for, like, the people that I know on the internet and, like, that actually care about this stuff and, like, want to see it. I'm like, I forget that people I know follow me.
But then, so I had this thought that, like, this is this thing that personally I identify with so much because I'm so passionate about it. Somebody that knows that about me could think that that is so cool and that gives me all this clout. Somebody else that's, like, in a class with me or knows me but I've just never brought that up and they don't know that about me, they don't know that whatsoever, And so they don't have that perception of me, even though it's something that I'm so aligned with and I'm so passionate about. So what makes it the identity? Is it that it's important to me and I identify with it? Or is it that somebody else perceives it and knows about it? Or somebody else doesn't perceive it and doesn't know about it? I'm in a class the other day with some kids that I've had multiple classes with over the years, and I brought my podcast up for the first time. And this kid was like, whoa, I didn't know that about you at all. Meanwhile, he is from Singapore, and so I was asking him advice before I went to Singapore. So his perception of me was like, oh, business student girl who's going to Singapore and doing an internship in Singapore. Now, all of a sudden, a year later, he's learning this new thing about me. Does that change my identity? Does that change how he sees my identity? What? And also, like, you could have something that to somebody else could make you so cool, but unless somebody knows about it,
it doesn't
exist. You're not cool, right? Like, it doesn't exist unless somebody...
All right, I'll take it from here now. I'll take it from here. So now this is where we're getting into quantum physics. I look like I'm by no means just do I study science or anything. Quantum physics, like, I will eat that shit up. I believe in the laws of science, like, in a fundamental, like, humanistic way. Like, I think so many things. E equals MC squared, eat that shit up. Energy is matter. Like, energy exists. That's what, like, people's vibes, and, like, there's good energy in this room. That means this room is, like, tangibly real. Love to love this stuff. And, like, actually apply these seemingly random, in my world, because I don't study or do anything with science, concepts, and make them so that I can understand them and, like, apply them to my life. So quantum physics, there's this one, like, I don't know what it is, law, concept, something. And it says that, like, reality doesn't exist until it's being observed. So, like, atoms, molecular level type stuff, doesn't exist until you get under a little microscope and look at it. Until you start looking at it and for it, it doesn't exist, but, like, it always exists, but it doesn't. So I always think about that in terms of people, and especially in terms of, like, healing and growth, is how do you exist when people are observing you? And I think that there's a truth to the fact that things exist once they are observed. Because I could be sitting in my room just vibing. Am I existing? Yes, obviously. But no one is observing me. So, like, what is the level of, like, perception and realness and how extreme in my identity am I being in that sense? Like, I'm doing the same things. I am the same person. Nothing has changed. But because I'm not being observed or experienced, how real is that? Same thing. I think about this more, not to, like, give you guys an existential crisis, but I've loved this concept forever. Healing or growth. Mm-hmm. You can do the work, do everything. How do you know when you're healed? How do you know when you've grown? When you can go in social settings, in public, out and about, like, doing your thing, interacting with other people, and you're applying it. Because that's when, like, the actual practice and the actual growth becomes real. Like, how do you know you've reached that point? Because other people are there to observe it. And that doesn't, by no means does that mean, like, it's the other people's power or the other people's control. No, everything is still in your power. It's just that once other people observe your healed version or your grown version, that's when it's like, oh, this is real, because it's actually in practice, it's actually existing. The same, I always think about this, like, the being in your room example. I'm the same person if I'm just sitting in my room as I am if I'm, like, out and about with other people. The difference is my qualities when I'm just alone chilling in my room, there's nothing to, like, bounce them off of. There's no contrast, there's no, you know, baseline to
there's
see.
No,
I am the base.
There's
I
no
am,
interaction.
I no. No, no, not what I mean. When I'm just sitting in my room, like, I am the baseline. When you're out and about, there's this, like, idea of a baseline that can change depending on what group you're in. But if I'm out, then maybe I'm, like, I'm funny compared to other people. In my room, am I the same person? Yes, but I'm, like, comparatively, I'm not being funny. Or maybe someone is super happy. Someone is super energetic. Maybe someone's, like, sad. Maybe someone is depressing. It goes in both directions, but when there's dimension, other people to kind of contrast you and kind of highlight the version of yourself that exists. It, like, makes it real and kind of saturates all of those qualities in a good way. Like, it makes you a more vibrant version of yourself just because there is something to base it off of. So same idea of, like, being around other people has nothing to do with the other people. It has everything to do with, like, you, it becomes real. Mm. If that makes any sense, or if I just confused all of you.
On the point of self-growth, I also think that there's this huge pressure around the concept of self-growth to identify as changed, or identify as elevated, and also to identify that your past self needed changing. And I think that that's really strange, because having to identify with those things. That's, like, on the social media things,
black and white, like, in my healing era.
Yeah.
Like, then how do you, healed, when did it start? Like,
yeah.
1900 BC, like, it didn't start on a particular day, it just vibed. Right. It just happened. Like, oh, now you're here?
I think that...
And then you weren't, but, like, it evolved, it just became. Like, it doesn't need a whole black and white, like, now I am, now I'm not. And I think that goes back to the, like, being around other people, is when you realize that the healing and growth has happened, or, like, it's completed. Not because the other people have anything to do with it, because you get to, when you are in the environment, you get to put that into practice, and that's when you're like, oh, I can do this, like, I've done this, like, this is where we're at now. Mm.
But I'm thinking, like, if you do go through some sort of growth or change, why do we so definitely need to identify, like, oh, there was this past self needed changing, this current self, this is my elevated, because it kind of gives no room for just, like, an ebb and flow, for you to grow more, for you to be okay if, like, things shift or things backtrack or anything in any sense. But it also is like, okay, do you have to so strictly identify that, like, your past self needed changing? Are we throwing that away? But also, then what is your identity? Because if you're just kind of throwing away what that past was, does that mean that that was never you? Or was that you and now you aren't you anymore because you've changed yourself in a way? No. Like, it's all so weird to think about. Like,
because
how are you supposed to identify?
Both are true.
Yeah.
Both are true.
Because it just comes back to my question of, like, what is your identity? Is your identity just one solid thing that doesn't change? Is your identity who you are right now? Is your identity who you have been in the past? Is the identity things you've done, things you're doing, qualities you have, people that you're around? Like, what is it? And it's so stressful because
it's all of that, but also it's none of that.
When you have big goals in a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, and their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yeah, and the whole pressure to be able to define yourself and know what that is when you're introducing yourself to somebody, when you're posting something on social media, pressure to be able to, like, put yourself in a box almost.
The other thing is just, like, stressful. Is, like, if you're not, like, curating your social media and, like, editing the pictures to all be the same color so that it looks good from the outside, like, I do that because I have to.
We right? have to.
But if, like, my personal account, like, my little secret private account, absolutely obsessed with it. I don't organize anything. Like, it's just photo dumps. It's, like, chaotic, and I love... If you scroll through it, like, it still looks cohesive, and it's still, like, I'm like, oh, that's me. Like, that gives my energy. But it looks nothing like my personal, like, public account. And when I scroll through my personal public account, I scroll through, I'm like, oh, this is me. Like, exactly. Like, this is my energy. Those both exist. It's just different parts of me showing.
Mm.
And, like, those both can be true.
When I have entered different phases of life, I have a tendency to literally have an identity crisis. This happened to me when we went to Singapore last spring, because for a very long time growing up in, like, high school and stuff, I identified a lot with the fact that I had grown up in Hong Kong, because that was such an important part of my life and such a transformative part of my life. And so for so long, that had been part of my identity. And then the longer I drifted away from that as I went through high school, as I came to college and I hadn't lived internationally anymore, then I had been living in New Hampshire for years and years, I kind of had a little bit of an identity crisis with that. Like, am I allowed to identify with this anymore? How far away can I get from this and still have it be part of my narrative, still have it be something that I identify with? I also hadn't traveled in so long, and so I'm like, for how long can I be someone who loves to travel without really having traveled in years? And then we go to Singapore, and so all of a sudden I'm back in this place, and I'm like, so am I just stepping back into the shoes of this person? Is what I was last year and the year before and all of that, living in the U.S., is that gone? Am I different? Am I the same, but I'm just in a different place? How much do I identify with the U.S. and at home? How much do I identify with where I am now? How am I supposed to show up, like, in my life, around people? How am I supposed to talk to people? How am I supposed to show up on social media? That was a huge thing for me. I was like, how much of traveling in this life and stuff do I show up when people see me as health and fitness?
Singapore when I did not post a singular thing.
Personally, I was having an identity crisis.
Yeah. I was like, I couldn't do anything. I'm like, I have to. It's my job. I physically couldn't.
I didn't know how to show up. I didn't know what I was supposed to be, who I was supposed to identify with. And that, honestly, took a lot away from my experience, because I think that instead of just really going with the flow and trying to embrace everything that was in front of me at the time, I was really, really, really overthinking about who it meant I was and who it meant I was supposed to be, or what it meant people were supposed to think of me and see of me. Like, I overthought that and stressed myself out about that so much that I, like, literally had this identity crisis, and it really held me back from just living. And I've realized that that kind of happens to me a lot when I go through a change of that, because what are you supposed to do when something that you've identified with for so long changes? Like, if you've played a certain sport your whole life and then you go to college and you're not playing it anymore and you've always been the soccer player, and now you can no longer say that you're the soccer player, but what about you has changed?
Who is doing construction outside of my window right now? It was completely accurate for you to, like, label yourself as the soccer player, or as the gymnast, or as the
track athlete.
Actress. I was like the theaterer.
But
completely accurate. That doesn't mean that, like, that didn't exist, but you have to, like, figure out what to either fill that spot with when it is no longer, or how do you, like, take up that empty space with just you?
But my question is also, why would you not identify with it anymore? Because if you've played soccer your whole life and now you're just not playing it in college, nothing about you has changed except for the fact that you're just not going to soccer practice 5 days a week. You know what I mean? Like, when you first are, like, not doing something like that anymore, when the space is really close and you haven't, like, really, like, gotten away from it that much, it's like, so do then your activities and the things that you do define you? Because you haven't changed. Who you are hasn't changed. Your, like, passions and interests maybe haven't really changed. That still is all part of your recent past. Then when you drift farther away from something, how long can something have not been prevalent in your life for you to still identify with it? Can you always identify with that? Do you have to find something to fill it? Do you have to identify with, like, that was my past? Something that I think about a lot is, like, speaking Chinese. The more that I'm kind of out of practice with my Chinese, the more I feel like an imposter saying that I'm fluent in Mandarin. I spent years of my life getting fluent in this language when we lived in Hong Kong. Then I came back to New Hampshire and I took some college courses doing Chinese. Like, that remained a part of my life. And now I've had a few years where I haven't been learning Chinese at all and I'm rarely speaking it. Can I identify with that? And when I try to read something in Chinese or say something or do something, if I get frustrated that, like, I can't think of a word that I know I used to know,
I did that the other
that
day.
That stresses me out, almost not in the sense, but what stresses me out is not, I'm not going to have this skill, and it is, I'm not going to have this skill, but I know that realistically I'm not having to use this skill right now, so what is it that frustrates me so much that I feel like I'm losing it? The fact that I identified with that for so long, and that that's always been a part of my identity, and that maybe I wouldn't be able to say that or think that or have that anymore, or almost feel like I would be throwing that away.
Literally yesterday I was walking down the street and there was a couple speaking Mandarin, and I was listening and I was like, I know they're lost, like they're talking about directions, they're looking at how to get somewhere, and I was like, oh well, I could just tell them. And for some reason, so I'm like trying to explain, and I'm like, I cannot for the life
of
me.
Wait, did you speak to them?
Yeah. And I, like, gave them directions of where they were going. And I was like, it was literally, like, go up 2 blocks and turn right. And I was like, but it wasn't really blocks. It was, like, go up 2 stoplights and turn right. And I was like, I could not
say that.
Say the word stoplight. And I'm like, I know. Definitively, I know this. Like, I know the word stoplight. In the same time, it took me 2 minutes to figure out the word for, like, go walk straight. And I was like, that is so sad.
Like, I can't even think about that right now either. And it's frustrating me in my head because I'm like, I used to know that. It's upsetting to lose a skill like that. But it's kind of double-sided because what frustrates me is, yeah, the fact that I feel like I'm losing that skill a bit, but also the fact that I feel like I can't identify with that thing anymore when I used to feel like that was something that set me apart. Another piece of social media, other than the way that you present yourself, is I think, just in this world, people think that they have access to everybody. And in some sense, people do have access to everybody. With more social media, with more media for famous people and well-known people, there's this idea that everybody needs to know everything about anyone else. Like,
or that they think they know everything about
exactly.
Else.
There's this thought that people know everything, but you never do. Do you really think that you know Kim Kardashian? No, you know the things that you see from her on the media. You know the things that she puts out on her own social media that are curated. You know what news articles say about her. But I guarantee that you don't even scratch the surface of who she is as a mom and as a person and her values and her work ethic.
I know her.
I don't know her, but I'm just saying, I think everyone thinks that they know everyone. Everyone thinks that they can have an opinion on, oh, Hailey Bieber and Selena Gomez are, like, fighting and, like, all, like, I don't know, that was just a random thing, but everyone thinks that they can just form these identities of people. Like, you think about something and you think you know everything about them because you know who they're dating and the job that they do and all of this, and so you think you can pass judgments on people. And so that's kind of on a big thing with, like, famous people, but also the people around you in your life. People love to label people as, oh, that's the fitness girl. Oh, that's the nerdy guy. Or that's the bitch.
I don't think they're wrong for that because everyone does it and it's a way. There's a truth in that. Because, like, maybe, like, where did they get that from?
Something.
You are a bitch.
But what does that mean? Does that mean that that opinion of you, like, that's how they identify with you, that can never change? Does that mean that that has to be who you are and that that can never change? And what if you think that that's not true? So then it comes back to, is your identity what you think of yourself? Is it what people think of you? Like, what is it? Another note that I had made similarly to people liking to label other
which
people.
Which I think is, like, the first, if you're, like, identity.
Mm-hmm.
The first if you thing. Say if you say the word identity to anyone over 50, immediately they're thinking, like, gender identity, sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's, of course, a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But identity, as we've talked about, is so many, like, millions of different parts.
Yeah. I think, and I am very limited in my experience on this, just because I am cisgender, I am straight. Like, I haven't had to deal with that much contemplation over my identity in this sense. But I do think that it's quite crazy that everybody needs to know the label of everyone else at all times. Oh, I think they're closeted gay. Oh, I heard she's bisexual. Blah, blah, blah. Like, people love to say those things. They love to know those things. They love to talk about those things. And it's like, I don't know. I think the more I've gotten older, the more I've come to the perspective of, like, what? That is such a personal thing. What? Who am I to contemplate that about someone
actually,
else?
Actually, like, genuinely, who made genuinely, that so public? Who made genuinely. That so... Because, like, it is way more important in society than it has to be. Mm. Like, important in the sense of, like, the only thing that people care about or talk about. I feel like it's way more of a thing than it needs to be. Not saying importance, because obviously that part of who you are is wildly important. But the need for everyone to know about it, for it to be announced, no matter how you identify in that sense. Like, why... Number one, with the labels thing, like, why is everything a label?
Mm.
Even the same thing. Nerd. Bitch. Fitness girl. Why are you being labeled? Why can't you just be vibes?
I think almost in high school and stuff, I didn't really understand it all that much because I think everyone's just, like, curious about that. Like, the idea of just, like, identity and sexuality and that stuff is very new at that age anyways, so I think you're, like, it's very intriguing when, like, someone is gay or somebody's bisexual or somebody identifies as something that isn't just straight. But now, like, in college, if I hear somebody, like, question somebody else's sexuality and stuff, I'm like, who are you to care? Who are you to
the way that's
say
like
that?
Like, at one
because
specific
it
thing.
Honestly, like, it honestly happens. And I'm like, we are 20 years old. Like, I'm sure that there are parts of your life that you're not so sure about right now. Like, what's your career identity?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Let's talk about
let's
that.
Let's talk about that. Like, what are you, like, who are
what
you,
are you doing after
to
graduation?
Try to define and judge and guess at somebody's gender or sexual orientation? Like, why is that somebody else's thing to decide? But also, why do we put so much pressure on other people having to define that themselves either? Because, again, I really just don't have the experience of having to really contemplate it myself, and I would imagine that for some people, being able to label themselves and have those identities can be a really empowering, strengthening thing. But I bet that also for a lot of people who are just exploring...
But the pressure to reach that point maybe before...
You're ready
before
or before
you,
know.
You, like, you know what I mean, is so unnecessary.
Exactly. I think for a lot of people who are just exploring things and kind of trying to figure it out themselves, it would be a lot better to not have this pressure of, like, you have to have this, you know, a big coming out and a big I am this, rather than, like, I'm just going to explore my feelings and what I'm drawn to. Like, I think
no,
it can go
or,
both ways.
Or not even that. Just, like, oh, I am... myself.
I am myself. And
I think that's like my biggest thing is with every single part of identity. It's like, why people aren't given the space to even, like, try out being healthy or try out being, like, reading or try out whatever it is. Like, trying out different hobbies are part of your identity. But
it,
no
it
one's given the space.
In.
It boxes you in. Like, you're forced to be boxed in by identity. And that's so irritating and so unnecessary. And I think, like, obviously it's good that we're definitely, especially, like, our generation, if we're going to go there, is moving away from that. Which is fun. Which we love. But also, like, identity, that's a major-ass headache.
It's a major-ass headache.
Because it's not a headache until you start thinking about it.
Because me...
And I don't think we have to think about
me
it.
Me trying to define myself has truly held me back in so many ways. Like, and I don't know if that's, like, extremely true, but I'm sure that if I didn't feel
I'm
this...
sorry. I just, like, fell out of my chair. That was such a strong statement.
Okay, maybe I don't mean it quite so strong, but I'm just thinking, like, me needing to, like, feel like I have to define myself in one way has probably stopped me from trying so new things, in a sense, because I'm just like, oh, that's not me. I'm not that person. That's not how I identify. I'm not going to try that. Like, whether it's just, like, trying a new hobby, having a change of routine, doing something different, I think this need to identify and know our identity and be aligned with the identity that people see for us can really put a lot of pressure on you and stop you from trying new things, stop you from just vibing, stop you from exploring, stop you from just living and letting life flow. Because also, like, we live long lives and, like, ever-changing lives. How are
we supposed to change? We've been here for far too long. And if I could open my mouth about this for another, like, 6 hours.
Keep talking.
But you are supposed, like, if you are one identity right now, you are completely allowed to, and, like, borderline you should, in 10 years, be a different personality. And then 10 years from there, be a different personality. Obviously, you're gonna have the same, like, little traits. Like, there are things that I act the same way right now as I did when I was 6 weeks old. You know, like, mannerisms like that. Those are fun. We love those staying the same. The things that come in and out and flow and change should change, and, like, that, those are parts of your identity too, and that should be able to adapt and evolve and change, and all the good things that we love and we say every single episode should be able to happen without you being held back by, oh, that doesn't fit in my identity. Because if you hold yourself back, you're stopping the natural evolution there.
So those are some thoughts on identity. It's just a topic that I think is very interesting. Is, in Catherine's words, nuanced.
That's a normal, like, people say that word. Yeah, it's not that crazy that I said it. Like, it just.
But I think it's something that, like, can be kind of stressful and can be a little bit too serious.
Overwhelming. But it literally shouldn't, and it shouldn't have to be, and that doesn't change the fact that it is. But, like, once again, I'll say it again. It's the only way to explain it. Just vibe. Like,
yeah,
it's just vibe. Like, your identity is just an energy.
Or is it? Like, what is it? I don't know. Let us know what you guys think.
I thought we reached something here, and you just backtracked the entire hour.
I'm not sure if we reached something, though. I definitely think that we reached some things. But I think the thing that I reached most is not, what is your identity? How are you supposed to define that? But a little bit more of, like, maybe we just don't need to define ourselves quite so much. But that's hard to say when then we have those things, like resumes and interviews and school and meeting people where you kind of do a little bit. And,
but they're not supposed to know the trauma from eighth grade.
So true.
Like, that's something to come to terms with the fact that your boss is allowed to know your work identity and your friends are allowed to know your social identity and your parents are allowed to know your, like, family identity, and those, no one has to, because I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, well, we don't actually know each other because they don't know every single thing about me.
And Catherine loves to say that. And Catherine loves to say, well, we don't actually know each other.
I cut my hair in, like, sixth grade when, like, I got a piece of gum stuck in. Like, why the fuck would they know that? They don't need to be knowing that. You don't know that about them. Like, that's so irrelevant.
When Catherine does love to say, like, oh, we don't actually know each other. We don't actually know each other.
Because that's true. Because it's one thing to, like, I stand by having a rigid valuation of, like, friends and people in my life. But I am realizing more and more and, like, getting better with the fact that, like, not everyone needs to know everything about you, and that's
because you also don't know everything
should
about
be that
most
way.
Other people.
It should, well, I, like, to know everything. You know what I
but
mean?
But you,
like,
don't, and that can still mean that you're friends with them.
Don't. It means I'm friends with them. It doesn't mean I'm, like, it's different levels, and that, because different levels of friendship and different types and forms of relationships require different levels of insight onto your personality and different personalities coming across. Like, that is just life. You're allowed to be, oh, if you overthink it, to, like, compartmentalize yourself into six different people, but really you are yourself and they're all valid versions of you. They're just, obviously you're not going to show up with your therapy version to work.
So true. And whatever you feel like you are, whoever you feel like you are, like, not to be cheesy and sentimental, but, like, you are perfect as you are, and you just, like,
shit, someone put that on a graphic for swipey posts.
Evolve and do all of
these
things.
Caroline's next post is gonna be a selfie. Swipe, you are perfect. Swipe, you can evolve. Swipe.
As you are. But it's just, like, you don't always need to be chasing a new that form bag. Of self. You'd yes, be chasing that bag. You don't need
sorry,
to be chasing.
Sorry, my mental capacity for, like, existentialism has capped.
Okay, and let me try to get this last like thought out.
I apologize.
She apologizes. You can be naturally evolving because that is just naturally life. You don't always have to be chasing a new identity. You don't have to also be boxing yourself into what you feel like your identity has to be. And I think the more that we can kind of let those things go and that need to so strictly identify ourselves, the more that we can just be happy with honestly who we are in any given moment. Because I think that the more you try to define yourself and you put yourself in that little box, then the less room you give yourself to, like, actually live and enjoy life as it comes and be okay with things changing and, like, be appreciative of new things. Those are my final thoughts, because it's something that I need to do better, so.
And with that,
thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you guys. No, we won't. Next episode, guest episode.
Oh, yeah, we have a guest episode next week while we're in Italy. We'll have a guest episode posted. So until then, follow the podcast at Girls With Goals Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Follow me, Caroline Kanin.
And Catherine Kanin. And you know what? If you love this,
leave us a review.
I know, we haven't said that in a while.
Leave a rating and a review. That truly, like, helps us out so much, and we really appreciate it.
Changes the world.
Follow the podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen. And again, if you want first updates, exclusive access on that merch, click the first link in our show notes. And
you, on video anymore, you can get on that list.
We'll see you next Monday.
Bye. Bye.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals, and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.